Hello and welcome to the CSFL Hub podcast. I'm your host as always, Kyle. Today is a special episode as we kick off our run of interviews. Today's guest is St. Thomas Aquinas star receiver Makai Matthews. What's going on, Makai?
Hey, what's up, Kyle? Thanks for having me.
You know, appreciate you for coming on, man. I know we've been in contact since your first year, which seems like a couple years ago now, but you've always been one of the better players in the league since you stepped into spring football, and it's just a pleasure to have you on, man.
Yeah, appreciate that.
So let's dive right into the nitty gritty. You know, last year you guys definitely had your biggest jump in improvement. You know, it wasn't necessarily the most wins you had as a program, but you guys were in the most competitive games you were in as a team. You know, when I think you went five overtime or three, four overtimes with Mansfield, went up to Army and gave them a hell of a game. You had some spectacular plays in that game. Just talk about how it felt for you as a player who's been there for so long and the successes you had last year.
It felt like a huge jump, honestly. You know, like you said, the win column doesn't show, but we went from losing by 2-3 possessions to now we're playing 3-point games with multiple teams. And I think this year is going to be the year for us. You know, we kind of broke that new team mold. You know, we're going into year five and, got a bunch of dudes coming in, and things are going to be a good year. We're going to see another jump.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, and I definitely think, you know, I mention it all the time on the podcast. I've mentioned it about Adderson Brodus and obviously you guys as well, and Caldwell a couple years ago. It's just being a player who was on a new team. I know sometimes it does take like those 3, 4, 5 years just to get a group of guys, get a group of 18-year-olds that all turning 21 at the same time. So now you got that grown man strength. You got those, you know, dog fights you've been in, you get that camaraderie. So it is about time for you guys to really make that jump. And I think you started making that jump last year. Talk about some of your expectations for this season personally and some of the expectations you have as a team.
Okay, so I'll start with the team. You know, it's team first. Our goal is to win the championship. And it's nothing really short of that. 5-2, you know, sounds good on paper, you know, upgrade from the season before, but we won a championship. You know, it's not just about improvement, it's about actually making a statement still. So that's really our team goal right there. Personal goal I have, you know, I'm be a senior now, so really be a better leader. You know, don't leave anything on the field. I don't know what's planned for me after this. And, you know, be another elite guy again, you know. Put up my numbers because that numbers translate to success, at least on the offensive side. So I feel like if I do my 111, I do my part, you know, I can help the team win, you know?
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's it's funny you mentioned that. That's one thing I think really helped me take my game to the next level my last 2 years in the league, because you mentioned it. You hit the nail on the head where it's a team game, and that's why we love football. It is the ultimate team game. But I'm a firm believer, especially as a coach now, you owe it to your teammates to be the best player you can be. You know, and that really takes place in the summer. That takes place in, during the workouts. That takes place in the weight room. So, yeah, we got to work as a team to reach this goal. But it's my responsibility to do everything I can do, you know, to be the best player I can be for my team. So I have a very similar mindset, and I preach that to my guys that I coach now in high school. And, you know, you've been doing that since you stepped into the league. Like just last season, you led the league in receptions and yards, and you were top three in touchdowns. But you also had a freshman teammate who really came onto the scene in Hassan Blakeney. Talk about what it was like playing with a guy, you know, younger than you, but you see so much talent in, and you two create such an amazing duo for your team. Just talk about the things you see from him and how he can flourish and how that can help the team as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think myself and him, I was a young freshman, you know, flashy guy, running routes, you know, just wanted to make a play, be a playmaker. I see a lot of young me in him, and he's that guy, you know, came in as a freshman, second team, was really that stepped up as that number two and really opened things up for me and our whole offensive success as a whole. Like, we led the whole league in passing. It wasn't just two guys, you know? So I see a lot of, even a lot of untapped potential, and he's already really an established receiver in the league now. And, you know, I'm just going to be, you know, that older vet guy that kind of just keeps him level-headed and make sure that we cut down our dancing, you know, making people miss, obviously, but cut down on the dancing, one cut go. You know, just things, little things you can pick up as you get older and you, you know, trust your speed more. And, you know, just things that younger receivers just could pick benefit like I did when I was a freshman at the time, you know.
Yeah, and I, like I said, I think you two make an amazing duo. It is so much harder as a defense coordinator to game plan when there's two guys, you know, on each side of the ball or outside slot, whatever the case may be. It just makes you, you know, more vigilant as a DC because you can't just say, hey, just let's throw our best corner on this one guy and bracket him with a safety when you have another guy on the other side who's just as capable, just as fast, runs just as good as route. So I think that'll definitely, you know, go a long way for your offense in terms of, you know, good offensive production. On the defensive side of the ball, who are some teammates you think that can stand out this year, be leaders, like you mentioned, for yourself, and even some guys you think might take another jump this year, some guys you may not have heard of last year?
Okay, so starting off on the defensive side of the ball, I would definitely say Sean Bernard, you know, lockdown corner. I think you mentioned in your podcast he had a low catch percentage, and he's just a dude that comes on. He shows up every day, track guy too, so, you know, trust his speed, got good technique. On the defensive line, you know, I won't go too deep in there, but the league knows we have a dog, Malik Lucas. Our secondary, that's where we're beefing up a lot, even though we have Sean there. We lost a couple guys to graduation, but got some guys coming in. We have a transfer from Stonehill College, and I personally know him. I played high school ball with him, and he's a dog. So I think defensive side of the ball, you're going to see a huge jump from Stack as a whole, not just a few individual guys who were all-leaguers like Tyreek and Malik, or, you know, just a consistent guy like Sean. You're going to see a lot from the defensive side of the ball as a whole. And on the offensive side, you know, I can vouch for my whole receiving core, not just Hassan and I. We have some guys, you know, it's going to make it difficult for a defense to focus on two guys, you know, one guy inside, one guy outside, whatever the case may be. You can't just game plan for two guys. We have a whole core of dudes, specifically Philip Meikle and Lucas McKenna, who will be a junior this year. He's a slept-on dog, and our receiving corps is going to be pretty successful this year. I can tell you that.
That's awesome to hear. And that's definitely one thing I've noticed watching you guys since St. Thomas Aquinas came into the league. I've always had really strong receivers. Even back when I was playing, I think his name was maybe Jimmy English. I think he ran track as well. He threw javelin. And, you know, I think he only ended up playing 1 or 2 years. I think he came in as a junior, but he was a dog. It's very clear, strong recruiting position for you guys is the wide receiver position. So it's nice to hear that that's going to continue to be a strength. And that's definitely something traditionally the better teams in this league have had, even if it's just been one guy for some of the teams. You almost kind of have to have at least one star receiver. It's better if you have 2, 3, 4, 5. But it's very hard to win a championship in this league without somebody at wide receiver who can, you know, go up and catch those 50-50 balls. Like you said, make somebody miss, turn a slant, 7-yard slant to a 70-yard touchdown, those type of things. So that's good to hear that will be a strength for you guys at St. Thomas Aquinas. And I mentioned it a couple minutes ago, what I would consider a legendary game you had with Mansfield, up until I think the following week when Army played Caldwell in a multi-overtime game. That game was the longest game in Sprint football history. Just talk about, you know, how you were feeling in that game, you know, that no way to call it but a dog fight, you know, going back and forth. I remember a couple amazing plays happened on both sides of the ball. Just talk a little bit about that game. Where was your mind at, and, you know, how it felt to be in such an iconic game in Sprint football?
Yeah, that was an experience right there. Honestly, a legendary game, even personally playing it. So, it was just my mindset, you know, when I'm in the game, like when I'm between the lines, I'm locked in. And it's not even in a selfish way. I want the ball because I know that I can do my 111 and I can dictate to a certain extent of what outcome of the game is. And so, you know, I was just thinking, kind of mindset, every time I line up, whatever cornerback, whatever safety was picking me up, get open, secure the catch, make a play. You know, my high school coach always told me players make plays. And so that was really my mindset, just play, make a play every time I get a chance. And Honestly, even just watching from the sideline on the defensive side of the ball, we had a couple big special teams plays back and forth. It was just a game where you could not turn your head. And typically, I like to gather the offense, you know, talk up with the whole line, talk with the quarterbacks, receivers, and really, you know, get locked in all together. But it was just one of those games where it was like the sideline where we're focused on the play, every play, regardless of what side of the ball, because, you know, football is played three parts, offense, defense, special teams, so we really couldn't miss a play. We had a field goal block, kick return from the other team, so it was just, it was a game where you felt in the game every single play. It was never one of those, it's kind of a slow game, like, you don't really feel like you're in it yet. It was start to finish, you know, their freshman quarterback, great athlete, he started off a 70-something yard run, start the game off. So we knew we had a lock in from then, that point on, and each overtime it just got, you know, he's getting more emotional about it because, you know, you're locked in, fired up, want to win. And then to hit the third or fourth overtime, and they miss the field goal, and we have a chance to go up, we fall short, they finish it out with a one-yard run that was just like, game's over. Like, we don't get that second chance. You don't know when the second chance is coming, but no, it was over. But it was a great game, you know. We couldn't really hang our heads down about it. We, you know, fought three overtimes. Clearly, it wasn't, I like a close game over on one side, is, you know, two possession victory, things like that, so.
Yeah, no, it was definitely amazing to watch. And like I said, that game along with Caldwell Army the following week are the two longest games in spring football history. So that's definitely something, like you said, not the whole, obviously you want to get out of there with the W, of course, that's the number one prerogative, but that'll be a game that stands the test of time. So that's definitely something I know both of those games, all four of those teams, all of those players who played in those games. Something I'm sure you guys will remember forever, because I remember watching that game live and it was crazy. I thought the live stream was going to shut off because I didn't know how much longer they were going to keep it on. But yeah, that was definitely crazy to watch. And like you said, you know, Mansfield ultimately brought it out. But, you know, leading into a follow-up question, you know, your schedule got released not too long ago, I believe on July 24th. You guys opened up the season against Penn at home, and you have Alderson Broaddus and Mansfield away. You come back home to Army and Caldwell back-to-back. You go to Chestnut Hill and Philly, and then you finish the year out with Cornell at home. So talking about that schedule, what are some games you're really looking forward to? Obviously, each game is its own opportunity to go out there and do what you got to do. But any one game you're looking more towards the other? Is it going to be your North Division opponents? Is there a South team that you really like to go against because of the location or the players? Just talk about your schedule this upcoming year and what makes you excited.
So for starters, playing Penn, this will be the first time in program's history. So that just in itself, you know, it's very exciting. I wish we would have been able to play them at Franklin Field, but, you know, it's still a good opportunity for the program, you know. I mean, you did say every game is his own opportunity, but if I had a specific opponent, it'd probably be, can't really narrow down to one, really, but that stretch of Army-Caldwell, those are just, that's just a game you always want to play in. You always want to play best against best, athlete against athlete, you know. Yeah, I feel like the tougher teams, it brings a better game out of me personally. And I know I can vouch for a couple of my teammates who are just some gamers, and they like playing against competition. They like feeling in the game. We don't really like blow. Obviously, we'd love to blow a team out, but that feeling of being like involved in the game is a nice close one. I'll definitely say that Army Caldwell stretch, and then. I'll obviously Cornell as well, you know, that'll be my senior night, meaning end of the regular season, so we'll still have another game or two to play, you know, for that championship, but as of now, you know, senior night, that's always going to be a memorable game. I remember it when I was in high school. It sounds like forever ago now, but it felt like it was yesterday, so yeah.
Awesome, man. Yeah, and I definitely like your guys' schedule coming in this season. You play everybody but Navy, pretty much. You play both Ivies, one of the academies, and you play two of the two winningest D2s from last season, which were Mansfield and Caldwell. So you play everybody. You get to go down to Philly at least once to go see Chestnut Hill. So I definitely like your schedule, definitely strong. You know, a young Alderson Broaddus team for you guys, week two. That'll be your first time going to West Virginia. Is that right?
Yeah, playing them, yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be nice. So you guys get to travel a lot. You know, I know how fun it is to travel. That's where you really build a lot of those memories on those long, long bus rides. And trust me, that's a long bus ride. Yeah. Especially from New York. So you really won't have a lot of memories from that game. I definitely like your guys' schedule. I think it'll really test you. And like you mentioned, you know, some of your teammates who are going to be playing this season, you definitely have a strong group of guys on both sides of the ball. So really looking forward to seeing you guys get going. What are, you know, if you could say, like, what are your personal, you know, best memories from playing for St. Thomas Aquinas? Obviously, you know, got a full slate of games this year. But what are some of the best things that you've experienced, you know, playing for this program since you've been there?
I think honestly, it starts off first game of freshman year. We went down to Annapolis, and it was just coming from a decent sized high school, pretty big high school, but, you know, playing in a stadium like that, an iconic stadium, it was just first game of college. It was like that was a great experience. You know, the whole bus ride thing, eating team dinner together. So I would say that's one of my bigger memories. And then when we went up to Connecticut and we played post, it was a full scoring game. I think the touchdown was scored in the end of the third quarter. It was my touchdown, so I guess you consider the game winner. So having that under my belt freshman year, that was a huge memory. And then skipped to my sophomore year. We didn't play any games besides that one spring game against Caldwell, which it was a dogfight, you know, come played at least one game that season. I just consider it memorable despite our loss. It's just we fought through everything with COVID, you know, had a bunch of guys missing, and still at least got to play a game, got to compete that year. So I walked away with that. And then this past year, I would say obviously the Mansfield game, 3-4 overtimes. You can't beat that. That's a core memory right there. I would also say that Caldwell game, because that was a game we wanted right there, a 3-point game at the end. We just didn't execute on our 2-minute drill. And then Cornell had a huge game, like 13 catches, 100-some yards, 2 touchdowns. So, you know, that was a big game. It was our first time playing at Cornell Stadium. So I think that's really, you know, the core memories come from playing in these iconic stadiums that you might not get to, you know, going a full Division II team or Division III, you know. So,
yeah, no, that's awesome, man. I definitely can agree with you. You know, playing in some of those stadiums, and, you know, you might only get to go there once or twice, you know, and you never know if you're going to be hurt that week or, you know, whatever outside circumstance might affect you that week. So it is definitely memorable to play at those stadiums. You know, played at Franklin Field twice. I went down to Annapolis twice. Went up to West Point once, went up to Ithaca once. So I definitely agree with you, like being able to play in those stadiums. You know, obviously you want to go get the win, but, you know, we managed to play and beat Penn one time at Franklin Field. That's definitely one of my core memories, you know. And I think you mentioned something earlier, you know, big-time players make big-time plays in big-time games. That's something I definitely tell my kids that I coach. So being able to, even if you don't get the win, unfortunately, but going and knowing that you did all you could do to contribute to a win and, you know, affect your side of the ball as best you could is definitely something, you know, you can take away from the game with your head held high, no matter what the outcome of the game is. So I definitely agree with you in those respects, like just playing in some of these stadiums, going to some of these places with your guys, with your brothers, definitely, you know, make memories that'll last a lifetime. So again, Jess, thank you for coming on, Makai. This has been great having you on. You are our first interview of the season for the CSFO Hub podcast. So it's been great to have you on. I'm looking forward to seeing you play. You've been one of my favorite players to watch since you came into the league. So you know I'll be watching everything you guys do, especially you, very closely. And I'm going to wish you the best of luck this season, brother.
And thanks, man. I appreciate it again.
All right. Appreciate you. This has been Kyle and Makai on the CSFO Hub podcast. Catch you guys next week. Peace. We'll